Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Fairgrounds, New Orleans. Coming up on Risen Star tomorrow and Mardi Gras on Tuesday, of course. Lots of parades and going to be right in the teeth of it. The coast-to-coast, pick five, and the action out west. Hammer standing by. Rick, good morning.
Good morning to you from the Big Easy. Sound, you're making me think back of the last time I was there, which is, I think it's been over a decade ago.
And wow.
I need to... I made a trip up to the Bay Area last weekend and hadn't really been up there in a while. And maybe it's time to include New Orleans in a trip here coming up.
Well, there's any reason to come here is a good reason.
I totally agree. Like I said, I hear you guys talking, and it's it's hard to come away from there without a smile on your face and a headache sometimes. But wow. Yeah, things are fine. Did I hear it was raining there? Did I hear Marcus say something about that?
It rained heavily yesterday.
It did. Okay.
Late afternoon and into the evening. So I mean, pretty certain to be, you know, they're not using this turf course. They're using it sparingly. So
yeah.
Off today, but they'll tomorrow will be all right.
All right. Well, that's good news here, and it's not raining out here, but it's been cold, boy. So I got been. I mean, California cold, and it's been in the 30s and 40s in the mornings here. So a little wake up when you get up. It's been great, but the rain has not returned. But things are moving on. A 4-day week out here. We're racing on today, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then holiday racing on Monday, which is normal. Coming into here, and I mentioned a little visit up north to Golden Gate Fields last week, and you know, I'd driven by that place numerous times on trips, and I hadn't been back inside the gates for over 30 years since I worked there. And boy, you forget what a gem. I tell you, anybody that's in the Bay Area or planning a trip to the Bay Area should stop by Golden Gate Fields. If nothing more than for the view, you forget the astounding views from the roof and the parking lot and the racetrack. It's called Golden Gate Fields for a reason. Like I said, if you were coming over from Japan on a boat, you went directly under the Golden Gate Bridge and just kept heading east, you would just dock right at Golden Gate Fields. It's a great property. And, you know, the racing has held up there. It's been good. So I was very happy to see the place in good shape and good visit up there. And I know I'm going to be back there more often than I have been. So I know you haven't been there. And I
no.
think you, when, then, you know, on another elongated stay to the West Coast, it's definitely worth a view, a picture, and, you know, just to maybe do a show from up there. A lot of good horsemen up there. A lot of them I've had seen for a long time that, you know, they really, they take care of each other up there, and they're keeping that racing going. And, it was a good visit. It was a good visit and a good place to go up. And we watched I just have a footnote on the Super Bowl. Obviously, the outcome didn't go your way. And I had given you a no lose recommendation or confirmation as my, you know, my guy that we asked picked Kansas City earlier in the week, and so which made, you know, Philly the obvious winner. And then I got back and I emailed you this Sunday notes from Santa Anita, and his name was in there, and he flipped and he picked the Eagles in the notes on Sunday morning. And so unfortunately he didn't get to see that in time, so didn't get to change a few wagers around, but my man is still, he's still perfect, but he switched on us. I guess that was a little bit of a classic bad karma when you're counting on that, but I sent you that thing in the notes. It was pretty funny. It's like, I couldn't believe it. I go, oh man, he switched. But good game, and, you know, nothing to be ashamed about. So as we do that. But I got one other note that non-racing, so I'm headed to... I'm headed to Tulsa on Tuesday to go see Bruce Springsteen, and my man hadn't come through. So somebody's going to get a miracle ticket. So somewhere along the line, if anybody in the Tulsa area wants to go to the show on Tuesday night, just find me some one way or another. And if we can work it out, it'll happen. Because I'm a ticket karma guy. I don't sell them. I give them away when I can't go. So somebody's going to get a miracle ticket coming up on Tuesday in Tulsa. So anyway, that goes that. But you mentioned the continuation of the Coast-to-Coast Pick 5 coming up on Saturday. Three races from Santa Anita this week and then two from Gulfstream. But, you know, that has been a popular race. A popular event. I'm glad we keep that going. It's also on Sunday. I never seem to cash in on the Sunday one or spend time on that. But the three races used out here are, you know, little odd. They went three early out here. They tried to get this done in an hour, which I don't know if they need to, but they are. But the three races out here are early, the third, fourth, and fifth. Not terribly big fields. You know, and the fields haven't been terribly small, but they haven't been big. But the good thing is they haven't been full of 3 to 5 shots. The chalk rate out here is under 30%, which has been okay. Which means you're not getting, like I said, a boatload of 6 to 5 shots coming in, even in the 7-8 horse fields out here. So that's good to keep in mind. Third race, real quick. It's a maiden cowbred race on the dirt. I mean, there's a couple obvious choices in here. The one, Catalina Eddy and Moon Ice for Sadler and Craig Lewis. And there's one first timer I keep an eye on, Steve Miotti, as my dad is thirsty on the outside. Those are the three that look in there. The next race is a filly mare first conditional allowance race going long on the dirt. John Sadler has a horse for George Kerkorian, Big Switch. Looks like fits the condition perfectly. My man Louis Mendez has a horse, Manarelli, on the rail that's 8-1 at the program with Eddie Maldonado. Going to get him out of the gate quick and go for the stretch out. That might be worth a look at a big play. I mean, a bigger price. The fifth race, which is a little starter race going long mile and eighth on the turf for the fillies and mares. Aloha Kitten looks pretty good to me. The two-hole from Craig DeLossi coming off a race up at Golden Gate on the synthetic. And the horse on the rail, Whistler Style, for Vladimir Serin fits the ticket, too, there. So I don't think you got to go too deep in the races here. I didn't check the races at Gulfstream. We got the feature race coming up. It's the ninth race, the Wishing Well, which is another one to race down the hill. And boy, you know, like you, Steve, I'm so happy to see the hill back in action. We actually did well last week. Bay Storm out of the Jonathan Thomas stable left her here after a good race in the Megahertz. Loved the cutback. Obviously, first time down the hill should hit her perfectly. She's a bit of the favorite. A couple ones for the price. Lady J from the Librado Baraccio barn, who hasn't connected here, but he's had a good last 6-8 months. And Countless Racina from the Jeff Mullins Hector Berrios combination, which we brought up last week.
They're killing
it. They won three races over the weekend, so that looks like it for the features out here. And you know, we're headed. Fairgrounds is the spotlight on the fairgrounds. Heard you talking to Marcus with a deep replay. You know, I looked at the two big races towards the end. Hoosier Philly, the one that looks good. It's one of those ones looks good, and the figures weren't. I thought the figures would come out better, but you know, Tom is very good at doing this. Like he keeps Edgar Morales on there. Probably the Philly to beat. Chop Shop's going to be right after him, and then in the next event, 14 horses. Interestingly enough, so only one of those are show up on the Derby watch. Right out of that whole bunch, the Victory Formation. And, you know, I'm not too far off from what Marcus talked about, it being a, you know, a wide open event with Victory Formation on the outside, having to probably, you know, gun it from there. And you've got the ex-Baffert horse, Harlow Cap, on the inside. I think it's going to be a good run, a good pace to run at. So looking for a closer or two. I didn't quite hear who he landed on, but you know, in the middle of the bunch there, you got Tabitz Conquest and Curly Jack, who look like they can maybe come off the pace a little bit. That's what I'm looking for in here. But I wouldn't be surprised at a half dozen of these. I didn't hear who you ended up in here, Steve.
Well, I'm a sucker for the Baffert approach in terms of Harlow Cap, who I think is very much a key in here, and especially if we get anything close to that number. I arrived here excited about two fills, coming back for two fills, but my man Magui kind of chilled me a little bit with the report of the backwards workout.
I watched that replay last time, and he ran a good race. I whether he moved early or not, I don't know. And usually I like those kind back, the ones that make the early move and then, you know, get run down. You know, he grinded it out at the end. He didn't give it up, but he didn't show as much determination as I was hoping. But, if he got there, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, you mentioned the Harlow Cap and now the Baffert deal. This is where the real one, not the real ones, the ones that he thinks are going to be the possible heavy heads are going to start appearing. The earlier races that he's been running in is kind of like his little proving ground. And the ones that now are the 50 points and the 100 point races, those are the ones that matter. If they can perform well, then they'll move on. If not, you'll see him back off. But the fact that, like you said, that he shows up here in a 50 pointer, I mean, business from here on out is all those ones that are going to have the name change. They mean business, so be interesting to see. And it's a good week. Let's hope the weather stays good for the races down there this weekend.
It's gonna be no problem here.
Well, that's good to hear, because it's nice to see the spotlight kind of go around the country and it's on the fairgrounds this week, and let's hope we get some, you know, that Rachel Alexander, as we know through the years, has just been a great tell for the Kentucky Oaks in one way or another. So it's a field of six, but it's a good bunch.
That was the conclusion with Marcus as well. One race that we should talk about, or at least include before we wrap, Rick, as part of the Coast to Coast, the second leg, you said the Gulfstream races, the second leg is a turf sprint, and if I had to be forced to pick something, I suppose it would be the Kevin Attard five horse here, the Cupid Gelding, Feel the Beat. There's exchange day as well for Marshall Navarro, and Joe Orsino's is okay in here, I guess. Adios, Gary. But I Feel the Beat for me from Attard. The Royal Delta, I got to slip this in, of course, and it's been referenced.
Yeah.
It was referenced already earlier this week when we had the visit with Jerry Bennett, which people really enjoyed. It was great to get Jerry on the show. He's got that tap dance fever, and he's, you know, taking a shot, essentially. The focus, though, will be on Classy Edition. The nice New York bred for the Lowe's, bred by the Bromans. Pletcher, of course, making the second start off the layoff for this spot. Shug brings back Kathleen O, the upstart filly. And one horse that has not been discussed probably as much as she should have been, Midnight Stroll shows up in here for her four-year-old debut. So each weekend, there's more and more of the last year's sophomores coming out, and so here's the Distaff division getting a nice boost with Kathleen O and Midnight Stroll and Classy Edition, second off the layoff, all the four-year-olds. A good addition of the Royal Delta. I mean, Kathleen O is going to vie for favoritism with Classy Edition, and they're the two to beat, but Midnight Stroll, if she comes back running for Terra Nova and has been working nice at Tampa, this is actually a fun group, and Jerry Bennett's filly would have to take one more step forward, mare, I should say. The Royal Delta, the Grade 3, is the second of the two races for the Coast to Coast at Gulfstream.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. You mentioned Jerry Bennett. I mean, he's everywhere he goes, he just wins. I remember he dipped into Monmouth Park years and years ago, and like, who was this guy? And all he did was win everywhere he goes. And the Terra Nova filly, Midnight Stroll, coming, you know, making a comeback. It's interesting that they brought her back going long and not short, but she's performed well going long. And you mentioned her, and she's a little sneaker in there. You know, she's won three of her eight races. She's won at the distance. She's a graded winner. I totally agree. She might totally sneak under the radar. And you mentioned a point of the comebackers. It must have been on the same wavelength. So actually last night, you know, looking for something to do, I printed the where some of these horses were going and where they've been. So we've already seen. We've seen Simplification and Barbara Road and Zozo, Centavia and Messier and White Abario. But just as you mentioned, getting ready to run or running very soon or this weekend, you know, Zandon, you got Tawny Port, you mentioned, is the bomb. Classic Causeway's working. Charge It, of course, came back. Cyberknife we saw once. So it's, you know, it's only February, and, you know, the tendency is for these guys to come back, you know, later and later. But it's great to start seeing them get into the races, whether they're allowance races or some small snakes. And, you know, hopefully by, you know, whatever, you know, April, May, that these, you know, nice horses are starting to get back into the rotation. So,
yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I'm thinking, you know, let's just hope. I see a lot of action. So that's good.
No, everybody. You know, you see the headlines about horses retiring and going to stud, and everybody, you know, panics. Oh, it's going to be a terrible handicap division. Just let him come back. Let him, you know, get back into the routine, get some starts. You're going to be surprised that at some point you'll sit up midsummer or early in the summer and say, oh wow, this is, you know, it's going to start to get going to get good. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm totally. So, congratulations to you. Watch out for those cups with the colored liquid in them. I know you're not you don't partake.
Not a problem for me. The only colored liquid I got is coffee right here in front of me. So you don't have to worry about me.
Very good. All right. Well, enjoy your time there, and you won't be long. You'll be out here in about 10 days.
I'll be out the day after Rebel, a week from Sunday.
So, very good. Well, I'm already lining up a few dining establishments for a run here. I got a couple of new spots we got to run you to. So that'll be good. We'll get you back to Porto's, of course, too, which has become a mainstay for us.
Nice. No, that was a revelation in December, finding Porto's. I found the one. I was completely unaware, but now I am. So. And we ordered. We brought some in for Christmas. That was the best. And the best news, Nona's, the empanada place from the farmers market.
It's up and running. Went by it the other day as we were getting toffee at Little John's.
They're right across from Little John's stand, but they're shipping now nationwide. And I kid you not, we have ordered since I was there in December. We've ordered three times, two dozen at a pop.
How do empanadas ship?
They're frozen. They're par baked, and you just finish them off in the oven. They're fabulous. Okay. They're absolutely fabulous. I mean, not that you need, you know, you can go pick them up, and
no, we will. Yeah. Well, I do, but I've just never shipped. Think of putting an empanada in an envelope and shipping it across the country.
No. They ship you two dozen. The shipping is actually pretty reasonable. It's like $30, added for the dry ice and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they come in absolutely beautiful, Tina. Yeah, they 20 minutes in the oven, 375, and it's like having them right there. They're as good as when you go to Nona's at the market. So
all right.
That's the push for today. Nona's empanadas. Hammer, we'll talk to you next week from I'll be at Hot Springs, and you won't.
And I won't. Hopefully it'll be warmer than it was when we were out there last year.
That was unbelievable. That was nuts with the ice storm, and it was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So
thanks, Hammer.
See you soon. Good luck, everybody.
Away they go. It was nuts last year. Just crazy how icy and cold and nasty it was. Nick Tamaro is going to join us next, and we got a lot to do with Nick, actually, because they've got the Texas bread steak action, and then we'll get Nick's. I want to see if Nick has got any. Want to see if he's got any. You don't have to go through the whole thing, Nick, but he joins us now. I just retweeted the scratches from New York, and there's a couple of notable scratches. Bredman comes out of the fourth, and Varadia, part of the entry for Engelhart. He's only going to run Indian Bella in there. Whittington Park for the pick six comes out for 10 strike. Luna Loca comes out, which is a significant scratch in the feature in that New York bred Philly group. And Scoreboard Lily, who was not impossible in the eighth, she comes out in that kind of a hungry bunch in the nightcap. Any help in the pick five, Nick?
You know, nothing really I would say that's going to offer a great amount of assistance. I'm going to structure everything to get alive. You know, if it's two units to Spelterini, it's eight units to Fabulously Funny. I think they're really the only two that can win the fifth leg. Outside of that, you know, the scratch of Aradia probably makes the entry significantly less appealing.
Yep.
I don't think Indian Bella is really all that interesting. Obviously, everybody's going to single sound spooky. The backups there are obvious. I mean, it's either, I guess it's probably Stormandy or Disturbed. That second race really is tough. And without Aradia, again, Indian Bella becomes pretty untrustworthy. Because, like, what do you do with Blue Paint? Right. I mean, this is just plummeting down the class ladder, never wins. Recent form is bad. I mean, everything's going backwards. Valorant doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. I guess Mariah's Fortune is a little interesting. Rudy's Barn heated up quite a bit last week. So, you know, you're using some combination of those. One of the interesting horses in the sequence is Tiebreaker in the third, because he's first time Dave Duggan, and we've seen Dave Duggan do really well with these types overall the last 5 years. Duggan's 33% first off a trainer change on dirt, 324 ROI. This one's a new gelding. He's got speed. You know, these are the kind of horses Dave's done really well with. Obviously, Spirit of St. Louis is a must use, and And I'm not going to be beaten by Rafua or Aiden Sand. I know Aiden Sand has to run better, but speed figure wise, he's an excellent fit.
Yep.
And then you get to the fourth. I really like Dr. Love. I'd probably be willing to have a certain ticket that goes, you know, getting through the first three legs to Dr. Love and From Another Mother into Fabulously Funny. Because I think Dr. Love's just been in the wrong place in two straight starts. You move too early, too back into a scorching pace, and then last out, Jorge Vargas just rode him along the rail pretty much the whole way, and that wasn't the place to be. So I like the jockey change to Manny. I think the mile is still well within his scope. I think From Another Mother is the one to catch. And again, that takes you to Fabulously Funny, who I like quite a bit in the fifth. And one thing I would say is keep an eye on the weather. I know the weather's supposed to get a little dicey. I like Durkin's call in the sixth, but he's hurt by a wet track. So, good, nice, you know, not an outrageously difficult sequence and one that's obviously spiced up quite a bit with carryover.
Agreed, both front end and back end. Nice. All right, let's turn our attention to the Sam Houston card real quickly. Most people, unless they live in the confines of Texas, won't be able to participate, but it seems like a nice card.
It is a nice card. It's not not the greatest set of races, but it's not terrible. It'll be fun to see the Texas Breds do battle. Some of the older horses that have gotten accustomed to seeing one another in these races are gonna meet up again. I think the heading those is the matchup in the H Town, which is the eighth race. That's between Algebra and Gold Pilot.
Right.
They have they've squared off quite a few times. And ironically, Gold Pilot has never lost to Algebra at Sam Houston, and Algebra's never lost to Gold Pilot at Lone Star. So, which is funny, too, because J.R. Caldwell generally does even better at Sam Houston than he does at Lone Star. But don't worry, I've got all the Algebra puns ready for everybody out there, and did in fact say in the first furlong of his last race that he was going to be part of the early equation. So they'll match up in the eighth. That's the H Town. The Miss Bluebonnet Turf is the ninth. Good race.
That's the best race. The night.
Yeah, best race by far. Karen Jacks has three in there. Could end up really having the three favorites. But I'm a discreet lady. I'll take a little bit of money for Broberg. Nomas Tequila was supposed to get into a prep here 3 weeks ago, and it got rained off the turf. And she ended up not going, but she's been victorious off the layoff in the past. So I'm not all that worried about her coming back fresh. I will say, though, for CJ Thoroughbreds and the Texas Thoroughbred Racing Club, Honor Given is coming off a very good win at Sam Houston, came over the top in a really slow-paced race and finished up nicely. She might be ready to take a big step forward as a six-year-old. The two-year-old races are restricted. They're Stallion Series races, so they're not as deep as the Groovy and Barolas were on Houston Racing Festival. But I think Izzatiz can be beaten by Bubbles and Bling. Bubbles and Bling is a half to Mr. Moneybags and comes back off a layoff here. I'm sorry, off a debut second time out now, and ran very well in the debut, made a middle move, flattened out a little bit late, but I think really benefits from the experience. And then the boys turf race is a matchup of Sunlit Song and Singapore Flash. I think things are going to go a little differently in the prep. Back on January 22nd, Stuart Elliott rode Sunlit Song very aggressively, and Singapore Flash was beaten to the punch, and it really hurt. So I think I'm going to gamble that they can get into a battle, and I'm going to try Mujab Jr. one last time. He's a horse that's knocked heads with these for a while. He's getting a little long in the tooth, but he might get a little set up to run at, and so I wanted to try him in the mile of the 16th trip. But, yeah, fun day, and obviously a series of preps for Texas Champions Day coming up on March 25th.
Let's swing over to the cross country, which is a very good sequence. Aqueduct 7th, the Lightning City, the Tampa 8th, back to Aqueduct for an allowance 8th, then back to Tampa for the Turf Dash, the 10th, and then the Razorback, which and we didn't look at anything other than the Razorback so far this morning when Scully touched on it. But the second half of the card tomorrow at Oaklawn, I mean, I know we're all focused on Fairgrounds. The second half of the card at Oaklawn tomorrow is outstanding. And it actually starts with the fifth. You've got a maiden special with a dozen, then a allowance, $104,000 purse with a dozen maiden special going short, the boys, probably some good horses in there, including Donnie Von Emel with Simovic. And there's others in there, too. Brissett's got a firster. Then a second-level allowance, the eighth race, has got 11. Then the Razorback with the 10-pack. And then Arky Bred's three-year-old fillies going short on the dirt. So a 12 by 12 by 12 by 11 by 10 by 12 at Oaklawn staring you in the face. But let's start with that maiden 7 tomorrow in New York, Nick.
Yeah, and this is a good card. It's not really a bad card at Aqueduct either. There's plenty to sort of sink your teeth into. So the cross-country pick five race at Aqueduct is the 7th or the 8th?
The 7th and the 8th.
7th and 8th, right, correct. Yeah, 7th is a mile on the main track, maiden special weight, good field here. Power in numbers is supposed to run better second time out. He was very well backed on debut, a son of Gervin who went off 6-5. You know, I think one of the things you're going to have to do in this sequence is lean on somebody, and he seems to make sense as a horse who should get better with a little bit of experience. His stablemate McCullough is in there, who finished 5th last time out behind Groveland, who, of course, was 2nd coming back in the Sam F. Davis. Foxburg is in here as well, and he got a ton of money on Pegasus Day and really didn't do much running. Looked like it might have been a situation, I don't know, where he could have bled. I mean, maybe he bled through his Lasix, but the blinkers are going on. He comes up to a colder climate. Maybe that could be part of it. He doesn't like the heat and humidity, so we'll see if he can improve a little bit. But I'd imagine using those, that trio or so, if you can afford to include, actually just 2, I would use Foxburg and Power Numbers as my main horses. The 8th is a good race because we're going to finally get a gauge on how good today's flavor is. And today's flavor has been very, very good. Now, he's been helped by some good rails, and they have definitely, I guess, exaggerated his performances a little bit, the margins maybe, but he looks like he's getting back into very strong form. I kind of have a thing for Ryan's Cat, who might not be good enough, but he was a little compromised by being wide on a day where the rail was good last time out, so I'm going to give him one more try. Otherwise, it's gonna take somebody taking a big step forward, I think, to win in there, because those horses look to kind of have a lock on it. These 2 Tampa races are really hard, and I will admit that turf sprints are not my strong suit, so I've done a preliminary amount of work on them and know that I've still got plenty to go. Train to Artemis for Kelly Breen is going to be one of the choices in the first of them, the Lightning City, who did you know that there's more lightning strikes in Tampa than any other city in America? Were you aware of that?
No.
That's why it's called Lightning City.
I will say something crazy that you mentioned that. As I was looking at this morning, I said to myself, I don't think that's a horse's name. And I said to myself, I wonder what the origin is. And you deliver. Unbelievable.
You know, Steve, even when I'm not on my game, I still have something. I try to bring something to the table. It's not that I'm not on my game. I'm just, you know, yeah, I go to Tampa a good bit for some work, and the 2 things that I was informed of are not only the situation with the lightning, but I did not know about this whole Gasparilla thing. I thought the Gasparilla had something to do with the stake race, but no, there is a very big show of pirates in the bay, and it is a very, very big deal to the locals.
Oh, so, yeah,
big shout out to everybody in the Tampa area. I'm a big fan of the area in general. I know you were there recently, so yeah, we'll see if Train to Artemis is good enough to take this step forward. I mean, she's gotten a lot better. This is a situation where she can still race with Lasix because they don't follow the same restrictions of Tampa. The inside post is not ideal, but you know what was funny to me about this race is a lot of horses with the same style, not a lot of confirmed front run types, but a lot of horses that want to be forward and can maybe force things along a little bit. The other Tampa race is the Turf Dash, and you kind of had a feeling when some of those scratches came out of the turf sprint race at Gulfstream last week that a lot of these would go here, and knowing that they can use Lasix, I think certainly contributed to that. I mean, boy, this thing is brutal. There is just nobody in here, I think, that you can latch on to at all. I think you're going to be looking at a favorite of maybe 4-1 or so off the claim on the rail, I guess. But Fluid Situation's been very good in his 2 turf sprints.
I like him.
John Terranova does well at Tampa. So, yeah, I think he's got a very good shot of getting it done. And then that Razorback is, I looked at it earlier in the week and saw, I think, Andy talking about it on Twitter. It is a very tough race. But I'll tell you this much. If his game travels and the same horse shows up tomorrow, Law Professor was very, very good last time.
I agree.
I mean, he went fast early. His pace figures were very strong, and he just never looked back. Now, with that said, Ginobili was very good last time in the fifth season as well, and I wouldn't have given him much of a shot in a two-turn mile race, but he ran very well, and I think he's certainly a horse that you want to give serious consideration to. And really, I prefer both of them to West Willpower, who I think is a little dressed up with some slow paces in recent dirt routes. So yeah, I'd probably be happy with those two.
A couple of notes on Nick's thoughts. Keystone Field in this Razorback at 8-1 interests me a little bit. This is a horse that Maker has been treading water. Tried him in the Turf Cup because of course he did, going a mile and a half. But this is a dangerous commodity, especially off that good allowance win last time. Keystone Field the 9 at 8-1. If you're looking for, you know, some price to include with Law Professor and Ginobili. Back to those two turf sprints for a second. A fluid situation absolutely has got my attention. Chess Master for Kerry Raven. 10-1 seems like a silly number. Chess Master is okay in there. And I've always been a Critical Way fan, getting a little long in the tooth at 9. And then where was there was a Trombetta. Oh, the Trombetta in the Lightning City, the 9, Spun Glass for his man Larry Johnson. It's a Larry Johnson homebred, of course, the 6-year-old. You want to see what No Lasix looks like interfering with a horse's running lines? Take a good look at Spun Glass at the end of last year. Wins the Jamila, wins the Camptown, goes up to compete in the Floral Park, and granted it was 6 furlongs instead of 5.5, but off Lasix, 4th, beaten 9. Comes back, gets just nipped in a Laurel allowance, goes to Gulfstream for the Abundantia, No Lasix, 6th, beaten 2. With Lasix, lots of wins and some seconds, No Lasix, off the board. So, there's evidence here, and in Spun Glass, she gets Lasix back. I think you got to use Trombetta in there.
Yeah, fun sequence. It is a good set of races, and I will admit that I was 4 or 5 last week with that beat in the Suncoast, like a lot of other people, and I would have been alive quite a few times to litigate if Wonder Wheel had won the race. I would have been alive a few times if Julius Shining won. So, yeah, Wonder Wheel's not in line to get a Christmas card from me.
Well, any 3-year-old, quick 3-year-old survey after last weekend?
Not anything groundbreaking, I would say. Obviously, I do think Hit Show is worthy of some conversation. I think he's a nice horse who's steadily moving forward. I think there's reason to kind of like him a little bit. Litigate was slow, and he was slow coming in, and he's slow coming out. So not anything, I would say, particularly insightful from me. He's going to have to get a lot better in order to prove that he even belongs on the trail. So he'll get another opportunity or two, which, you know, he at least had a few things against him. But, you know, it's a no trips and slow races kind of conversation, I think, when push comes to shove. So he'll have to get a little bit better. As far as this week goes, I mean, the Risen Star, I'm going to bet Croupy. I know I'm going to die on the hill of these New York maiden special weight races. I think they've been way better than people think, and that's why I've liked Tapatriche from the beginning, and I like Slip Mahoney, and so I'm going to see if he stacks up. I also think he's going to get an enormous pace to run at.
Yep.
And you're going to get a very nice price. And right now, I've seen way too much chatter on Tappet's Conquest to expect anywhere near a 6-1 morning line. I mean, everybody and their dog seems to like him, so you're gonna have to shop for an alternative if you're trying to find a price.
That has been certainly come to boil to the surface this morning, and yesterday too, with Frank McGoey leading the charge.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's on him, and it's understandable. He's obviously got a very attractive pedigree, and he comes in off a good runner-up effort and really didn't have, you know, everything go his way that day, so no surprise.
Nick Tamaro, everybody, NTAM 1215 on your Sam Houston feed to watch, your feed. You can watch the races, but unless you're in Texas, you're not going to be able to bet. Nick, I appreciate it. I'll talk to you from Oaklawn next week.
Sounds great, my friend Steve, across America, ultimately in Vegas.
Exactly. That's right. All roads lead to, don't say Bally's. All roads lead to Horseshoe.
The shoe, exactly.
Well, we're going to do the old soft shoe. Nick, thanks so much.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you soon. Have a good weekend.
Got it. Nick Tamaro, folks. We've got Schaap and Kevin Kilroy and Joe Christofek here momentarily, but I've got to get Papo in. I want to hear, particularly with these big fields, with the big field Risen Star, particularly, I want to hear what Form to Win has got to say about this race. And we say good morning, Papo Morales.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing this morning?
We're great. We're rolling along here, about to close out the Risen Star commentary with all the talking heads. They're all going to be here momentarily. Let me talk to you, though, first and foremost. We didn't talk earlier in the week. Any notable scores from last week when we talked?
Not necessarily in the stakes races. I mean, the only horse that was in the top three in all three categories in the big stakes at Tampa Bay Downs was Litigate. So he came through, but I mean, he wasn't any bit of a price. But I've been tracking just running everything through average Form to Win time with very little filters, just on the everyday card so far at Fairgrounds and Aqueduct. And the strike rate's been pretty good if you just look at the top three. Without any filters, especially for some of these claiming races, which is an interesting angle. So I'm going to keep experimenting with that also.
Excellent. Well, then let's get some plays. Let's start with the Risen Star, Papo, because this is a lot of fun, and 14 horses should produce some interesting Form to Win snapshot.
Yeah. So Steve, the way I ran it with my filter now. Limited data sets. I looked for horses that run at least a mile and a 16th, since this race is at 9 furlongs. So I ran everything from mile and a 16th up. Top horse on Form to Win was Harlicap.
Hmm.
5 horse at 8-1. Tappet's Conquest. The 8 horse at 6-1 was prominent. And then kind of a prize play, Sun Thunder.
Wow.
For McPeak.
Wow.
At 15-1. Also, now, I mean, that's only going off one start at that distance, but I'd be interested in some of those price plays in that particular race, Steve.
Well, and that's interesting. Behind Arabian Night, of course, and Red Root 1 in a sloppy running of the Southwest, but certainly has worked nicely both here and at Oaklawn coming out of that, coming into it actually at Oaklawn, and then moved over here and fired a minute and a fifth, best of 42 bullet, Sun Thunder, and Into Mischief out of the Medaglia d'Oro mare, and 15-1. You do get Brian Hernandez Jr. back aboard here. Interesting. All right. That's the one. I mean, the other two horses are basically the features that we've been discussing with everybody, Tappet's Conquest and Harlow Cap. So, all right. What else?
Nothing very interesting in the Rachel Alexandra. I mean, Hoosier Fiddly was the top horse. Pretty Mischievous was also ranked high, as well as the one horse, Vava.
Vava,
yeah. The one kind of fits. But then you go to, like, the Fairground Stakes, Steve. Tis the Bomb, the one horse, was prominent, as well as Bay Street Money, the 8 horse at 6-1. And then Pixelated 8-1. Now, Pixelated hasn't won in a while, but
no.
He fit on Form to Win. I'd probably put him underneath somewhere. Win contention, he may be a little up against it. And then in the Mine Shaft, 8.5 furlongs on the dirt. Mr. Wireless, the 8 horse at 5-1, was prominent,
that's
as well
wildlife.
As the 5 horse, Big Blue Line at 8-1. And then, of course, Happy American, the 6 horse. So some decent prices there. Backing it up even further, there's a Colonel Power, 5.5 furlongs on the turf. I'd be interested to see if some of these AEs draw in, Steve. Like my pal Maddie, the 10 horse was prominent, as well as Sign of War, but they're going to have to draw in. And against him, the 7 horse was the top horse on Form to Win. And then, of course, Ice Chocolate and All in Sync. So we'll have to see if some of those AEs draw in. And then the Albert Stahl Memorial, once again, a mile and 16th on the turf, but top horse was Trail Ridge Road, the 7 horse at 6-1. Island Hideaway, the 5 horse at 4-1. And Russian Mafia Fit, he was third on both average and best at 10-1. Once again, he hasn't won in a while, but be included maybe somewhere underneath the
sure.
exotics.
7-5-8 in the Al Stahl, which is kind of a muddled Lake Lucerne, modest 3-1 favorite. All right, some options. Excellent.
Yeah, and I also looked at those the 10th at Tampa, which I know is included in that that cross country, the 5 furlong turf dash. I mean, Panther Island fits. He's the favorite. I'd be interested in the 3 horse fluid situation at 6-1, as well as Full Disclosure, the 6 horse at 6-1, and that turf sprint at Tampa.
Excellent. All right, that gives some more options for the part of the cross country. Super. Form to win on your AmWager interface. And Papo, good luck this weekend. And we'll check in. We'll check. You know, with this good racing and full cards Monday and Tuesday. So let's connect. In fact, we'll recap and maybe some Mardi Gras Day action.
Yeah, sounds great, Steve. I'll talk to you later.
Papo Morales, everybody, and Form to Win. And we welcome in the boys. They're ready for us. It all builds up to this. Let me here. Let's slide this over. We're a little corded up. There you go. That's all you need. And Joe, sidle in the middle there. And you guys will pass the mic. All right. Get over here. Get in behind KK. You all right? Joe Christofek joins us, as well as Kevin Kilroy and Scott Shapiro. You got to get on the other side, Joe. You're killing me. Over here. Get next to Kevin, because he's got the mic. We got one headset, one mic, and two.
That should be good, right? Captain's chair for you there. Something like that. 1970s version of the captain's chair.
I love that chair.
I use club chair. I just felt like captain's was more of a, you know. Yeah, exactly. You know.
There we go. Captain Christofek. Captain
Joe. Like Messier.
There we go.
I'll take that.
We say good morning. And, in fact, Joe's already got himself his Derby 149 jacket.
Everybody around here.
Huh? The envy? Yeah, everybody's.
John Dooley wants one. I mean, Scott's got his, too, but he doesn't have it on. It's cold up here.
Yeah, I was gearing up. I know it's going to be a little windy and cold outside, so I took it off. So when I go outside, I've got some cover.
I was shocked when I walked out of the building this morning. I the first day I didn't wear a jacket or my vest, and I was like, unbelievable, because it looked sunny. I thought, oh, it's sunny and warm. Nah.
Dropped like 20 degrees.
Holy cow. Let's dive in. We got 15 minutes, give or take. Start with the Risen Star. We'll work backwards. Kevin, your final assessment?
Final assessment. I'm going to spread a little bit in this race, but Tappet's Conquest is my top pick in there.
Everybody's top pick suddenly.
Yeah, the price gets the
price could be really
crazy.
Low.
I know.
Right, that could be the favorite of the Cox. Stands up, should step forward. Looking at DeSormo's Thoroughgraph numbers, in stakes races, he runs a new top 25% of the time with his runners. So he knows how to point him. He knows when to get him in these races. Two fills I've been loving, although I do like Mikey D was talking about the work. Went fast early, but went slow late. So got the bullet that last time, but the distance might be a problem.
Marcus discounted that only, he said, because of the way he's galloped since.
I mean, and that's it. Every morning I see him, he's touting himself. He is comfortable. He is the king of the court out there. So he looks good. He feels confident, but I thought that was interesting about maybe not being able to get the distance.
Joe?
Yeah, I've been back and forth on so many horses all week, and then you hear all the chatter. And with all the chatter on Tappet's Conquest, nobody's getting 6-1 on him.
No.
He might even be the favorite with all the talk from clockers, people that know what they've seen on the track, and handicappers alike. I like Angel of Empire out of the Cox trio, only because he's going to be the best value by far of the three. Love the way he galloped out, you know, by design in the Smarty Jones. I asked Brad about it. He said, yeah, we wanted to do that because we think this horse will go at least a mile and an eighth, if not further, as far as what his best distance will be. And he's been training at Oaklawn, so there's no clock or talk about this horse outside of the gallops and the normal exercise in the morning, you're not going to get the Magui's and the Mike Delibertos and the people that are here every morning touting this horse, so the price will probably go up. And then Croupy's another one I like, too, because I think he's here for a reason. 9 furlongs, big track, long stretch.
Yep.
We all can agree, I think the pace is going to be at least honest, if not fast, with the horses that are in there. And then 2 fills, but I listened to the Delibertos podcast with Chuck Snyder this morning, and I took the same thing out of it you did, Kevin. It kind of scared me a little bit, because originally he was my top pick, and I still like him to a certain extent, and I'm rooting for Ravelli, but... that did bother me just slightly. But hearing Marcus's assessment, which is always a good assessment, makes me feel better about him.
There you go. Shap?
Guess I'm as unoriginal as everybody else because I really like Tappet's Conquest in here. But I'm going to include Angel of Empire as my A's with Joe's point that the value is going to be there. Great point by him as well about the buzz not going to be the same because he's been training at Oaklawn and talked to Brad as well about this horse along with Joe and just the idea of the mile and an eighth. And this is a horse that they always knew would be better down the road. So the slower numbers as a two-year-old doesn't really discourage and just a big, good-looking son of Classic Empire. So those will be my two A's. I like Croupy as a B and, as well as 2 fills. I do think Single Roller is an interesting call by Kilroy. This is a horse that's moved forward and did so significantly with blinkers, had major trouble in that 12:26 race. And Sun Thunder, I think, can maybe get a slice as well. But going to be keying in on Tappet's Conquest as well as Angel of Empire.
Stick with the Shap. Let's back it up to the Rachel where... the best filly since who knows?
Ruffian, right?
Maybe better. Who knows? Now listen, we love it. The first place I'm almost positive the first place anybody heard on a widespread basis about Hoosier Filly was with me and Amos at Saratoga before she ever started, and he said before she ever set foot in a gate competitively, I may have the best filly I've ever had. So it's not as if the bloom and the carrying on came after the fact. I mean he had that to say about her last July. So to be fair, I mean she's done nothing to discount
exactly
from the potential that was essentially offered out there.
Exactly. And Joe and I got to see her firsthand 3 straight times. We were fortunate enough to do so, and each time she was pretty much more impressive. The 2 efforts gone 2 turns. Speed figures don't really matter all that much to me, although they're very competitive, if not as fast as everybody in this field as a two-year-old, but she just never was asked at all, and I really have very little desire to play against her. That being said, I am going to play an exacta with Vava, who I think is clearly better than her last effort suggests after the stumbled start. I would expect her to be involved early, assuming a better break with Louie wanting to get this one into the race. And I know a lot of people are talking about Miracle being loose on the lead. Sorry, Kilroy, not to take any of your thunder, but I think Vava's going to be, assuming a good break, I think they're going to try to be aggressive. So I'm going to play a 2-1 exacta, but another Shap with the public.
There's 2 sides of the fence here, Steve. There's the side of the fence that I think 80% of the people are on that this could be a very special horse and nobody's going to, we don't want to oppose her. And the 20% that says she's as fast as 2 or 3 others in the race, and that percentage of people is really looking forward to betting against her. She's been bored in her 3 races. I mean, she's been that good that she's just done things all on her own. And we'll see how much more she has to give. She's never looked another horse in the eye. We don't know what her competitive spirit is like. She is kind of an odd-looking filly to me, but she just kind of coasts over the ground. Like, and Delibertos said it best. He's like, she went in that first work back, and they looked down at the clock, and they couldn't believe how fast she went because she looked like she went 2 seconds slower. So those kind of horses are the ones that wind up being special. And then you put them in the starting gate. I don't remember the last time I've had this much anticipation for this kind of a horse to see – well, how good is she? Like, we greatly anticipate all these grade one races, Derby, Louisiana Derby, Breeders' Cup races. But, man, when that gate springs open on Saturday and Hoosier Filly's running, what's she going to do? I think everybody is supremely curious. And I'm like Scott, and we'll see what Kevin has to say. But I'm not going to oppose her. I'll put her in my pick 5 as a single, pick 6, whatever bets I make, and take my chances.
KK.
Yeah, listen, I mean, when you first look at it, it's just like, oh, this is a great opportunity as a bettor to you know, seize those all that money that's going to go on Hoosier Philly. But I'm taking her. You know, just watching her in the morning, she just floats across the track. And that's just amazing. She's been the most special thing I've seen. I've been out there every morning, you know, for the past few weeks, 5:30 a.m. And she's got it. So I think she should be, you know, Shap, we were talking about this. She should be closer than it seems, you know, in terms of to the front.
I agree. Yeah.
Short field. She's going to get it done. And then so in terms of doing something else with her, I mean, it's a single for me in the multi race. You know, in my horizontals, I think Chop Chop is running too. So I mean, I'll keep an eye on that exact price. I don't think it's going to be touchable. I think it's going to be a really big underlay with those two. But those two seem to be the two that sort of rise above this crowd for me. Although Vava, pretty mischievous, and you can never discount Chris Block. I mean, he gets his horses ready to roll.
Exactly.
Knock your socks off. Could be some value in there. So if you're going to do something vertical there, then you might need to get creative. So just got to keep an eye on the pools before I figure that out.
It's a quality six-pack starting with Hoosier Philly. We'll stay with KK and back into the fairgrounds. We obviously are going to – Marcus even speculated maybe less than firm tomorrow with the cold temperatures.
Good today and
are they called?
It's really good today.
They're running on the turf today?
Well, no, they're not.
No.
But as of this moment,
okay,
right
it's
now,
good.
The main track's good.
Right.
And I asked them, I'm like, what would you call the turf if we were running on it? And they said it would be good.
All right.
So
all right. It's windy. It's windy. I think it's gonna help it. Yeah,
that
but
could
we'll
be
see.
All
you
right.
just never know, right? So you know, talking to Hugh Robertson about two Emmys that last race, and talking to Jimmy this morning, he's like, "Oh, I messed up the last race. I was off the rail. I was wide, and you know, two Emmys hadn't been out there before. Just was uncomfortable, not confident. Had trouble switching leads and wasn't able to run his race, but still ran a big one, right? And Gentle Soul came and nailed that one at the wire. So two Emmys is my top pick in here. I do feel like Tis the Bomb is live in here. Definitely a fantastic work. Just a huge move without even being asked over Odds on Tony in the morning. Gentle Soul has just done nothing wrong, and they, you know, Ray's got that one figured out. So Bay Street Money's a little interesting in here as well, but two Emmys is my top one. And you can't discount Pixelate in the money. You know, don't like it on top, but he gets in the money often.
I agree with everything Kevin said. I'm not going against two Emmys. I agree with James and Hughes and Kevin's assessment that he kind of got lost out there in the last race. The turf course has evened out a lot since LeCompte Day. It's a lot more fair from inside to outside. It's equally worn from the inside rail to the outside rail. You know, the grass grows a little bit, then they cut it. And we've seen forward horses do a lot better than when Gentle Soul was on the outside fence practically and won last time. Taking nothing away from Gentle Soul, I think he's very legit. He needs to be taken back, and they need to make one big run with him, which is what they did last time. But two Emmys for me with Gentle Soul being my A-plus and A probably in that race. I might only go too deep, honestly.
And I'm going to go too deep as well, echoing the sentiments of two Emmys, second off the layoff here. Loves this course, should get a real good trip, could have easily needed the last in addition to all the things that the guys mentioned. And then I'm also going to use Bay Street Money. We've seen this with Maker before. I know it's a six-year-old that is taking on Stakes Company for the first time. I thought that effort off a short freshening at allowance race at Gulfstream was better than it looks. Really finished well that day and had plenty left in the tank. I think the mile and an eighth will work well. So it's 2-8 for me, two Emmys and Bay Street Money.
I'll only mention him just because I respect him. I thought Cavalry Charge was
won it last year.
Yeah, was being ignored a little too readily. Let's talk about the Mineshaft. Shaft, go on with it. And actually, we just got a note from Jay in Carlsbad who is asking, please ask Shaft if he's had
Carlsbad first time, long time.
First time, long time. wants to know how many salads you've eaten on this trip.
I am at zero salads. Actually, no, I ate salad before the meal, which is
salad last night.
Yeah, before the meal, Man, this might be international before long. This salad joke.
Now you're in huge trouble. This all refers, and it's funny because I went to Lois's on Wednesday, and the three of you were sitting there, and I walked right into everyone absolutely sticking it to Schaap for having last time at Lois's ordering a salad. But you did have a barbecue shrimp.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the shout-out. I need all the help I can get here.
Well, and of course, when I brought Tina there and the waitress said to her, should I have a pulled boy? Should I have a? And she said, well, the barbecue shrimp is everybody's favorite. And so Tina ordered the barbecue shrimp, and it came. And I mean, Tina can nosh with the best of them. Tina looked at it, looked at me. She said, "This is three meals.
That's what it is.
There's 46 shrimp shoved into a hoagie bun and then drowned in sauce." And Tina was like, "And Tina did well actually. She got about 2/3 of the way through it. I'm always amazed. But no more salads for you."
People, my friends and colleagues and whatnot, do not approve of a healthy kick, so I'll keep that in mind.
Well, it was just renaming the Schaapanola.
Schaapanola is good. The Mine Shaft is next. This starts the late pick four, the All Stakes pick four, and of course there's an All Stakes pick five, and we do have the returning four-year-olds, Tawny Port and Pioneer of Medina. Do we have any word on Pessin and Happy American yet?
It was 50-50-ish when I spoke to him yesterday. So
he's supposed to have
not heard from
noon.
This morning. Yeah.
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 I mean, he's going to be in, I think. He still just wasn't 100%, but he's full of run. So he needs to run.
All right.
Well, I mean, I respect Happy American. I probably like Mr. Wireless a little bit better than him this time, but. You know, a couple price options. Big Blue Line, I don't know if it'll be 8-1. Seems like a lot of buzz off that last work, but just really seems to be a horse that's figuring it out. I mean, we saw this horse beat a $75,000 maiden claiming field last May at Churchill and get buried here on debut at almost 110-1. But coming into his own, I really liked the way he relaxed last time. Both of his other wins had been on the front end. But being under Corey Lanner, he relaxed very nicely. I think he's going to run a big race. 8-1 on the line. Don't know if we'll get it. And I respect Pioneer of Medina. First start as a four-year-old, as you mentioned, Steve, has run well when shipping in New Orleans. Interesting move by Todd Pletcher to freshen him up after the Harland Holiday runner-up effort instead of running him in maybe the Pegasus World Cup, where the other rivals in there did not perform that well. Gets a little bit of class relief here versus that field. So I'm going to use those two, and I definitely respect the Happy American Mr. Wireless combo.
And I just heard, checked with Neil Pessin. I said, Happy American, a yes or no? He said, leaning strongly toward yes.
All right.
I think you can more expect him to run than not run.
I don't know how he paid $10 last time. And with all the talk about him maybe scratching, maybe my price goes up again. I know he's picking up a couple pounds. But, man, that pace last time was 49 and change.
Yep. And
the two horses to his inside, Forza de Oro and Brett's horse,
Run Classic.
Well, Mr. Wireless, they were all running really hard to the wire, but Mr. Wireless got the jump, and Forza de Oro was on the lead, and Happy American's a 10, 12 length off the pace closer when the pace is honest, and he somehow won that race.
Yep.
I mean, maybe he didn't come out of it as good, because I know that he was training great going into the last one. Maybe he didn't come out of it as good. Neil's been hedging whether or not to run him. I know he really wants to win the New Orleans Classic with this horse, but I mean, if my price can keep going up because of all the negative talk about him, I'm on Happy American. I agree with Scott with Pioneer Medina, and I also agree with Scott on Big Blue Line. I mean, those are my three, but Happy American, I'll stick with him. I mean, he doesn't owe me anything. We'll just put it that way.
There you go. I can hear you.
Yeah, there's lots of ways you can go in here. Everybody seems ready to run. I think if you ever could see a race where Dallas Stewart's going to sneak up and get it done, Hoist the Gold could be that type of horse. Go out at a big price and sneak away. Now, it's not the one I want to use there.
It's a 4-year-old debut for him, too. And, here's a horse that has been moving inexorably, in the right direction with every passing start. He's a Mine Shaft, so he's running in the Mine Shaft and out of a Tappet mare. So this is a slow-burn, developing type. This is a horse that by mid-year we might have a whole different view of. He was third in the Malibu, for those that didn't notice that.
Yeah, right behind Taba and Forbidden Kingdom. And it's like, why have we not stretched out yet? Well, Dallas Stewart's playing it, you know, got the spot. He's gonna sneak up and get everybody. You know, that's the type of thing I see from Dallas. He does that really well. But for me, big blue line that worked last time, just watching it. I mean, he was just so professional, ears pricked back, you know, just all the way through the turn, just galloping out fantastic and just loving it. And talking to Paul, you know, he's just saying he's moving forward in a big way. So big blue line, I love. Happy American, I'm still with Mr. Wireless as well. You know, that horse, both those horses ran better. You might not see it in the speed figures, but ran better in the Louisiana. Pioneer Medina is one I can't sleep on either. I'm going to get skinny in some other legs, so I want to spread a little bit in there, but I think I'm going to go with that value play on top in terms of my verticals with Big Blue Line.
Very good. That's a horse that might come down a little bit too in price, because that was also a clocker special. The pick five starts with the Colonel Power, and Evan Singh definitely gets in. We'll see if anybody else does as well, because there are some interesting horses further down, but Evan Singh became a prominent player with yesterday's news.
Yeah, and $500,000 guaranteed. Hopefully get up close to $1 million, if not above it, but hit it and split it on Twin Spires.
Nice.
Not much speed in this race the way I see it, especially in terms of a 5.5 furlong turf sprint. I don't know how the guys saw it, but I'm going to take a chance against Surveillance in here. Much respect for his current form and him as a horse in general. I think he's better on dirt, so I'm gonna swing against him. I like Anguston on top in here. I think Yankee 7 is a little bit sneaky, given the lack of speed and the probable trip. And I've always been a fan of Evan Singh, a little bit worried about the lack of pace. But this one off the fresh and gets Flavian Pratt for the first time. So those will be my three in there.
When they took that race off the turf on LeCompte Day, it looked like Lon Wiggins had lost his best friend. I mean, you talk about a horse that's only run once in 3.5 years.
Yep.
And when he did run in between then and now, he won.
Yep.
At Churchill. And I was there, and I know the connections really well. Lon, you know, and it's kind of ironic. It's on Rachel Alexandra Day, too, with his dad being the first trainer of Rachel Alexandra. But Scott's right. No speed. Maybe the bad luck they got on LeCompte Day, they get the better luck on Risen Star Day, because maybe he can go gate to wire. Talked about the turf evening out quite a bit, which should help his chances. And again, from a publicist perspective, it would be a great story if he won. And I'm very friendly with those connections, so I would love to see it happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm taking Surveillance on top, assuming that the price is right, and I think it probably will be, just people questioning the turf ability from this runner. But the efforts have been huge, and James knows his horse so well, and he still fights him a little bit there to finish off. So that's, you know, a little bit of the question is the head case aspect of Surveillance, but he's as happy as they get back there, and he's just been feeling fantastic, been touting himself, and I think the price can go up from that 5-2. But Evan Singh, I didn't know. What happened? Did somebody scratch out?
Yeah, you're going to lose Twirling Roses.
Twirling Roses, yeah, Evan Singh.
A little bit of speed in that horse as well.
I'm very excited to see that runner in there. So Evan Singh seems live. Al Stahl got those wins with Trafalgar and Fannie and Freddie last weekend. That barn seems to be firing and pointed in towards this weekend. Anguston, love as well in terms of seeing that runner go. And yeah, I think those are three that I like the most.
Very good. To me, Anguston and the two stalls gets it done. Got less than a minute. There is this crazy big important allowance, obviously. First defense, banishing, etc. Any special insights?
I'll just say one thing real quick.
Yeah.
All the hype on First Defender, all the hype on banishing, Cagliostro. The price goes up there. I know his time wasn't great, but he was wide. He broke terrible. He looked like he wanted to do more at the end of the race. His price is going to go up. What an exciting race between those three and maybe one or two others. But Cagliostro, I think, will be the value.
So Marcus was on Cagliostro.
Cagliostro and Willa Kenzie are the values, but much respect to the two favorites, First Defender and Banishing.
Any maiden? Any insights on the maiden groups?
We got Bishop's Bay has just been working up fantastic between the two Cox runners there.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like Kigali a little bit in the seventh, stretching out the two turns for the first time, second off the bench for Bauer. Yeah.
Phil Bauer, the 9-horse, 8-1, gets Johnny V.
Yeah. St. John's is working with Banishing for whatever that's worth, but Banishing worked much better.
outstanding. Kevin Kilroy, Joe Christofek, Scott Shapiro, you'll see them on the feed tomorrow, of course, and Twin Spires weekend preview at the races live from Fairgrounds back Monday and Tuesday, of course, including for the first time ever on Mardi Gras Day itself. It should be a lot of fun. Thanks to the boys, Nick Tamaro, Papa Morales, Hammer, Marcus Hirsch was here, of course, as well as Callie Francois and James Scully. There it is, weekend preview. Good luck, everybody. Enjoy. We'll talk to you here Monday. We'll have lots of action on the website for you. Good luck in the pick six today at Aqueduct. Talk to you Monday morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America.